Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, clear breaking news, culture, macromatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Had a great conversation on Simply Bitcoin IRL with Jason Brett yesterday. And boy, oh boy, are the storm clouds gathering. And here's the reality. And I think a lot of predominant Bitcoiners understand this, right? You have Michael Saylor at the Atlas Gala basically saying, I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a martyr. You have Corey Clipston's very famous piece, The Race to Avoid the War. And something that a joke that Opti and I make all the time, right? Where we say, you know, we're going to try to hold it down here in the States. You know, if all else fails, we're going to have to move to El Salvador. The reality is that over the last 6 months, you know, we've seen some people call it the deep state. I would call it the administrative state, right up in your grill these days, is doing everything in its power to try to slow down the adoption of Bitcoin. And the reason for that is simple, right? They get a tremendous amount of power from being able to print money. And obviously that funds, you know, the endless wars, the bureaucracy, et cetera, et cetera. But people are waking up to that. And one of the things that dawned on me yesterday in my conversation with Jason was the inevitability of having to get involved. Unfortunately, I know a lot of Bitcoiners are going to be literally repulsed by the statement, but at this point, I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think we have the luxury of just being onlookers, right? Especially if you want to stay where you are. If you don't, you know, if all else fails, of course, you know, you take your Bitcoin into self-custody, you're going to go to where you're treated best. You're just going to pack up your bags, get on a plane and leave, right? But if you don't want to do that, you know, you definitely have to at least pay attention and see what's going on in the political process. And the reality is that the current administration, right, is hostile towards Bitcoin. That was confirmed when Caitlin Long came on Simply Bitcoin IRL. She said that the reason that she believes that her federal banking charter was denied, even though she has literally more than 100, it was her bank is 108% reserved and it was still denied, was because orders from the White House from the very top to deny it because they don't want Bitcoin adoption in the US. They want people using a central bank digital currency. And there's a war going on. There's individual states, right? There's governors that are being very vocal and saying, hey, you know, we vetoed this bill. We do not want to adopt a central bank digital currency. So get involved. Take agency. Take agency. You could be an onlooker. You could run your own node. You could buy Bitcoin, take Bitcoin into self-custody. You'll be fine as an individual. But if you want to hold it down, you want to hold it down, then you inevitably you're going to have to get involved. And that's the reality. Now, the good news, though, is that as more people adopt Bitcoin and, you know, as people get older and the younger generation, which are the big percentage of people that are holding Bitcoin, accumulate more wealth and they become more influential, politicians are going to start supporting something like Bitcoin. And I think that's what we're starting to see. We had a Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., that came out and said the quiet part out loud. He said the reality of what a central bank digital currency would entail, how the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are using the FedNow payment system as a Trojan horse to get in. But the good news is that people are waking up to this reality. And I also have a clip for you guys from Timcast. And the reason we referenced the Tim Pool podcast so much is one of the most popular podcasts every night. If you're on YouTube, you will see the Timcast live stream and it has tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people watching live. And you know who he had on last night? He had the man, the myth, the legend himself, Ron Paul. And Ron Paul was describing exactly what is wrong with the current system. I just think that Ron Paul, I think he started this movement. He was the first to address and highlight broken money and the importance of Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics. But the reason that I want to highlight this clip and play this clip is that now this is getting mainstream attention. These conversations are being had. So not only is Tim Pool bringing up Bitcoin regularly, having Bitcoiners on his show like Max Kaiser, he should have Corey Clipson on too as well. But he's also having people like Ron Paul that are discussing the broken money, meaning that Bitcoin, the Bitcoin ethos, the Bitcoin revolution, the ideas of Bitcoin are starting to seep into the mainstream consciousness. And I suspect this will continue to accelerate as Clown World continues to break down. And we'll be on top of it. You guys know the deal. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. Enjoy the ride. Take that Bitcoin into self-custody and watch the fireworks. But there is going to be a fight. It's not going to be a kinetic one. It's going to be an it's going to be all-out information warfare, which we've been covering this entire week. The legacy corporate media is panicking. The NPR freaked out, said they're going to give up Twitter because Elon rightly mentioned and put it in their Twitter bio that NPR is a government-funded organization, which is true. And they got mad about that, right? And this is an idea that was talked about in The Sovereign Individual. This is an idea that I've been talking about over the last couple of months, right? We are living through the disintermediation of information, and we're also living through the disintermediation of money. And governments, the nation state model, has relied tremendously from having a monopoly on both those fronts. And I know what a lot of people are saying, like, Nico, like, that's not true. They don't have a monopoly on information. Are you trying to tell me the corporate media, specifically something like the New York Times, isn't a mouthpiece for a lot of these intelligence communities? We had an episode a couple days ago about the Iraq War. They covered up, you know, the atrocities committed by the Soviet Union. But now that you have individuals are now the ones that are telling the information. They're the ones, are the new newscasters, are the journalists. It's decentralized. It's become incredibly difficult for these nation states or these powerful governments to co-opt the narrative the way that they have been doing. So this very tumultuous time. Some people call it the fourth turning, but I know I'll be all right because my wealth is in Bitcoin, and I hope yours is too. Anyways, everybody, before we start the show, I want to introduce my legendary co-host, always optimistic. I had a bit of a long monologue.
I want to give you this. I'm enjoying your new monologues, bro. I like them longer.
I hope it wasn't too long. But anyways, my very special co-host, always optimistic. He's the culture guru, bro. Right mindset, fit body, fit mind. What is it, Opti? Say it. Say it for the crowd, bro.
Fit mind, fit body, fit finances. Get
your shit together. This is how we win. Take agency. Take your financial sovereignty back. That's the number one thing. Then get fit. Get your mind right. Eat right. We need as many of you guys in the fight, in this information war, in this fight for freedom. We always say it, Bitcoin or slavery. Anyways, Opti, what are we going to cover during the culture, brother?
Well, I really don't want to say it because I'm hoping that our guest shows up during the culture. So let's leave a little mystery. If not, I'll have to pivot live. So let's hold off. But I think you guys are going to enjoy this conversation either way. I already got something in my back pocket, but either way, we got something for you guys today. I mean, I'm most excited to hear some more Nico Jones rants. This is what the people come for, dude. I hope I trigger Nico or he gets triggered and he goes ballistic on the show today. So a good preamble with this opening monologue.
All right, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody. I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. It's coming up quickly. Get your tickets soon. Miami Beach, Florida, Bitcoin 2023, May 18th through the 20th. Promo code simply to get yourself a big discount on the tickets. Let's go through some of the speaker lists. We have Michael Lewis, author of Moneyball, The Blind Side. and The Big Short, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Casey Creed over Ordinals, Alex Gladstein, Stacey Herbert. We have a lot more speakers as well. They changed up the lineup here on me. BTC Sessions, Caitlin Long. We have CK, Daniel Priss, Dr. Jeff Ross, Nico and Opti are on there as well. We're going to be holding it down on the analyst desk. Guys, you definitely don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration of the year. And I've been getting Odell, of course. I've been getting a lot of questions like, Nico, how do I get a job in Bitcoin? Well, go to the Bitcoin 2023 conference. That is going to be one of your best opportunities. The price at the time of recording is 30,375 sats per dollar, 3,292 block height, 785,237 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096 blocks to halving, 54,763 halving estimate, April 20, 2024 total Lightning network capacity, 5,413 capacity value, $164 million realized monetary inflation, 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $587 billion with a B. Today, guys, I want to talk about, I mentioned it earlier, about this legend who also got to speak at the, I think it was the Bitcoin 2021 conference. And one of the things that he said that resonated with me is, you know, I might not understand this technology very much, but I understand freedom. And that was a very, very powerful line. Bitcoin is freedom. And last night he went on the Timcast IRL podcast, and I'm going to play you guys the clip, and you let me know what you think, what the solution is to the things that he's mentioning. Let's check it out.
I just want to ask you to elaborate on the monetary policy aspect. Can you explain what this economic system is? What's wrong with it?
The main reason is you don't have a definition of the unit of account, because if you were building a building, you'd want a unit of account or a unit of measurement. In economics, you have to have a unit of account. And that, of course, is a defined currency. We were able to get away with destroying the unit of account, you know, all the way back in 1934 and 1971, the way it is now. But we were very, very wealthy, and we still are wealthy, but we're getting poorer because people rely on debt, and the debt is growing. The price inflation is moving along, and they've destroyed one of the most important items. The most important price in economics is the price of money, how much it takes to borrow. What was it? Minus for a couple years. And during that time, the Fed would come up and say, oh, you know, we're having trouble. We want the inflation, the price inflation. We want the destruction of the value of money go at 2% a year. And it's down to minus one or minus two. Now, this is the craziest thing in the world. The last thing they should be doing. But now, and I said, you know, when it finally gets to 2%, you wait, you won't even see it. It'll be 10% after that. There's theory of subjective theory of value that tells you that you can't make those predictions, but you can make predictions that if you mess up with the monetary system, run up debt, all this debt has to be liquidated, and we are in the middle of defaulting on that money, and that is the crisis we face. And right now, we're not very far along at accepting what we have to accept if we want to crawl our way out of here and get back to being a productive nation.
So, what do we always say? All roads lead to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is that solution, right? Fine. You know, a lot of people are like saying, end the Fed, and replace it with what? Replace it with the gold standard. The gold standard failed because it was successfully co-opted by government. Why? Because of custody reasons. The fact is that holding a large amount of gold is very difficult to custody. Therefore, people outsource that custody to banks. The banks, large vaults, guys with guns, right? Try storing, you know, a couple million dollars worth of gold. Are you going to hide it under your mattress? Not to mention, you know how heavy gold is, right? You're going to go to a CVS with a little pick, like, tick, 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 tick. Okay, here you go. Let me get my box of chocolates or something. Yeah, dude, this is not going to work, right? So it's not just about ending the Fed. It's not about just identifying the issue, right? The issue has been identified. Ron Paul identified, he's a legend. He's been identifying this for decades now, right? He was part of the movement in the 1970s to make gold, it sounds so absurd, to make it legal for Americans to hold gold again, right? Gold was tried and it failed because of its physical properties. We need to try something different. And the reason that we advocate for Bitcoin is that you can store Bitcoin by just writing down 24 words, and you could theoretically store millions, billions, if not trillions of dollars on 12 words, 24 words. And if you're in a pickle, or if you live in a totalitarian country and you're trying to cross a border with your wealth, you can memorize that. There's like this border thing too that makes it easier for you to do it as well. So there's different ways, there's different mechanisms of which you can store your gold. I mean, sorry, you could store your Bitcoin. I think it's superior to gold for that reason. It's a lot easier to store. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this?
Well, first and foremost, you know, shout out to Ron Paul. He's a legend. He's been in this end the Fed fight, hard money fight for longer than I've been alive. So, you know, first and foremost, we gotta show respect to the legends out there. And from that clip, man, it sounds like he's a Bitcoiner. It might just be that he doesn't have the technical know-how that us young people have, and that might be like the final leap is him having the same, I don't know if faith is the right word, but the same acceptance to technology and how it has improved our lives and how it is ubiquitous with the modern world. But you know, from what I saw, and again, I didn't see the whole Tim Pool clip with Ron Paul. Everyone was telling me, and I kind of saw it on Twitter as well, it is a bit unfortunate that he doesn't fully understand Bitcoin yet.
I think he fought as well as he could with the tools at hand.
We talk about this all the time. We say the same thing consistently, you know, but my point in saying all that is kind of like Ron Paul and our other hard money advocates, whether they're gold fans out there, whether they're end the Fed types, you know, really appreciate all the groundwork that you guys have laid. And us Bitcoiners will take the baton from here and take it over the finish line, because everything that hard money advocates have been saying for a long time, like Bitcoin is that solution. And to me, he sounds like a Bitcoiner. You know, Bitcoin is that universal measurement of value, AKA, you know, the global unit of account with no middlemen that we talk about consistently on this show. It's just, it's very interesting how Bitcoin really is the solution that the end the Fed types like Ron Paul have been seeking for forever, for as long as they've been in the fight. And it's just like a matter of just going over the, you know, one more inch of the finish line and understanding that a lot of the things that people might think are bugs about Bitcoin is actually a feature and an improvement on gold. And it's just kind of like me and Nico were having this conversation earlier. It's very interesting how many people are still so fiat minded. They still have the fiat lens over everything that they think. And us Bitcoiners that are basically purely Bitcoiners, come from first principles, just understand, I think, the world in a better perspective, just because we have that foundation of like Bitcoin first, Bitcoin centric. What do we always say? First principles of Bitcoin, and everything else just comes from that perspective. And so we don't get bogged down in the mud and the over complexities of the fiat world. We're just like, Bitcoin's a solution. Like, how is this so unobvious to everyone? Like, it's so obvious to us that Bitcoin fixes this. But hey, this is why we show up. This is why we do what we do, is so that we can continuously show people that Bitcoin is an improvement.
100%. But I'm really glad that it's, again, I'm gonna keep hammering this point home. I'm really glad that finally, the ideas of Bitcoin, people are waking up to the fact that the money is broken. And this is being talked about not only in Bitcoin circles, this is finally breaking the Bitcoin echo chamber, and it's starting to seep into the mainstream consciousness. And I suspect this trend will continue to accelerate. Remember, guys, it's not red versus blue. It's green versus orange. All right, everybody, let's get to news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So before we start the show, I want to introduce our very special guest. Nolan Friendover from Bitcoin Magazine is here. He's going to do the news with us, and we're going to dedicate, of course, the culture segment to talk about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023, coming up in Miami Beach, Florida. But before we do that, let's talk about the news. Also, Nolan, why don't you give a shout out to your awesome show, dude? You talk a lot about these topics.
I got it for the culture. I got it for the culture, Nico. Let's not ruin it. No, for the culture.
Just a shout out. What's the name of your show, Nolan?
We do something called The Breakup, and it's a lot about what you guys were just mentioning. Like, why are people waking up to this, you know? In my show, it's every morning, 8 a.m., called The Breakup. We take a look at our relationship with money because it's not a logical thing, right? If it was logical, it would all be over at the 21 million. It would be over, right?
Yep. But
people love these assumptions that democracy brings us all these kinds of things, right? Democracy is the way to freedom. These are myths that Bitcoiners have to tear down, right? And that's not that easy. So that's what we're talking about. The psychological inhibitions towards Bitcoin.
100%. And actually, that's a perfect segue into the passage that I'm going to read from Natalie Smolensky. So we're going to focus the news segment, Nolan, on today is Robert Kennedy Jr. basically going out and advocating for Bitcoin and being staunchly against central bank digital currencies, specifically mentioning how the FedNow payment could be some type of Trojan horse into an inevitable central bank digital currency that we know, for example, the Biden administration, that's definitely what they want to do. Now, anyway, so here's Natalie Smolensky. She's referencing the Texas bill that would take away the incentives for Bitcoin miners within the state. She says, I regret to inform you that even very friendly and receptive senators voted for this bad bill. Only one senator had the independence of mind to oppose it. I firmly believe in the promise of democracy and the importance of getting involved in the political process. And this is something that this connects to something what Nolan was saying. However, government will not save us. It is slow, reactive, functions according to its own logics, which are not visible to people outside of it. We must continue to build alternative social machines whose adoption becomes so widespread that governments cannot shut them down or co-opt them. Only in this way will we really move the needle on public opinion and the opinion of policymakers. So that being said, referencing that first, so it seems like our memetics, right, are highlighting the dangers of central bank digital currencies is moving the needle. This is what we talk about so much, guys. Take agency. Every tweet that you like, every meme that you make, every video that you make, it all counts in this information war. Anyways, here's a tweet. I really call this a meme from the Federal Reserve. It says, is FedNow replacing cash? Is it a central bank digital currency? No, FedNow is not related to a digital currency. FedNow is a payment service the Federal Reserve is making available for banks and credit unions to transfer funds. But it's interesting that they say this, but at the same time, you have language coming out from the Biden administration basically saying, hey, we actually want a central bank digital currency. So it's funny. And you know, it's funny, but we Bitcoiners have been seeing this very, very much. It's like it's almost as if they're contradicting themselves. How interesting is that? Anyway, so here is what we're going to talk about today, which is Robert Kennedy Jr. Yes, he is related to President Kennedy. I think he's like a nephew or something, or a great nephew. Anyways, he goes on to say, Fed issued central bank digital currency is a hot topic this campaign season. Presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. has rallied against the U.S. government plans to modernize the banking system by stoking fears of an overreaching central bank digital currency. FedNow, the Federal Reserve's new settlement system, is pitched to allow instantaneous payments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. quote, "We should be wary since central bank digital currencies are the ultimate mechanisms for social surveillance and control." Quote, "The claim that FedNow is not the first step towards a central bank digital currency would be more easily digestible were we not aware of the Biden administration's steady barrage of hostile broadsides against cryptocurrencies." It's interesting, right? And they would like you to know with their memetics that, hey, guys, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. But I think the good news here, and I think the signal, is the fact that they feel so inclined that they have to go out, they have to go out ahead of this and basically say, guys, you have nothing to worry about. This is not replacing cash. This is just a more efficient means of payments. These are not central bank digital currencies. But I'm glad that it's not only Bitcoiners that are picking up to this reality. It's also potential political presidential candidates as well that are obviously picking up to this. It's so obvious. I mean, look at the presidential economic report that was released a couple weeks ago by the Biden administration. They dedicated 20 entire pages as to making the case as to why central banks are necessary, why you cannot have money without a state, and as to why central bank digital currencies are the future of money and payments in the US, right? So honestly, this is one of those situations, just like the New York Times tried to fact check the riot video using their own sources, right? Which we successfully fought that back. Enough people voted that it was an unhelpful community note, but it's just funny. They're just saying, guys, there's no fire here. This is definitely not a central bank digital currency. You could trust us. At the same time, we hate Bitcoin and we are advocating for central bank digital currencies in our papers, in our reports. You know, it's like, it's almost as if they think we're stupid. I don't know, Nolan. What do you, am I a crazy Bitcoiner? Am I seeing things that are not there?
Well, look, the folks who tune in to the breakup every morning at 8 a.m. have been hearing about Bobby Kennedy Jr. and what it means for Bitcoin for about 5 or 6 months now. I've been talking about him. He was on Tucker Carlson, and the reason about 5 or 6 months ago, and the reason I brought it up is because I know, you know, in Bitcoin we have the meme 1971, what happened after 1971, you know, the end of the gold standard, all the things that are different, and indeed all the data lines up with that. But strangely, the actual connection to when the surveillance state really begins is when Bobby Kennedy's uncle, it's his straight up uncle, was killed. He was in the White House Oval Office many times with his uncle because his father was the Attorney General at the time. Bobby Kennedy is his father, right? He's Bobby Kennedy Jr. So, and he's the oldest of all these kinds of kids they had. So now, even the term conspiracy theory didn't exist in the New York Times before 1964, and Bobby Kennedy or JFK was killed at the end of 1963. And now he's been asking questions, right? That's sort of why I brought it up, because in a lot of ways, everything to do with learning about the data behind money for money's sake, all the financial surveillance, all the deputization of the banks and the financial system by the government, all the spying really begins in the aftermath of the death of his uncle, right? So remember, his uncle was killed. The murderer of his uncle was killed. The murderer of the murderer of his uncle was killed. Then his father was killed, and the murderer of his father was killed. And they basically have been saying anyone who asks questions about this is a conspiracy theorist, right? So of all the people that even have the right to ask questions, I think he's first in line. So you can't call him a conspiracy theorist, first of all. Now, what ends up happening is in the 1960s, from that point on, from 1964 on, that's where you get KYC, AML. That's where you start getting spies deployed in America, looking into American citizens. That's why you have the spies that were sicked on Martin Luther King Jr. That was all in the same time. And from there, right, we have this entire financial infrastructure that moves right into, because the point was to make sure there was no dissent and debate even at the time about what was going on. No one should ask questions about these folks that were murdered. And from then on, Bobby Kennedy Jr. Was the last of this family. His cousin, you know, he was in an election, potentially becoming a New York senator, the New York senator in 2000, didn't make it, right? 1999, his airplane disappeared over Nantucket. That was the end of him. And all this time now, Bobby Kennedy and the Kennedys themselves have been, let's call it inside the machine, right? And so Bobby Kennedy's book that was just released, The Real Anthony Fauci, gets into all of this stuff, financial surveillance, where the money went, what happened, what's going on with these guys. He just did a simple follow the money analysis around what Fauci was up to. And again, instantly. So this is the kind of stuff we talk about on the show every morning. It's, we predicted on the show, look, they're gonna introduce him as a conspiracy theorist. And of all the people that can be a conspiracy theorist, like I said, he's probably got a pass. Remember, you're a conspiracy theorist if you asked about the death of his uncle, the death of the murderer of his uncle, the death of the murderer of the murderer of his uncle, the death of his father, and the death of the murderer of his father. So, and by the way, did you guys know he's married to Cheryl Hines, you know, the wife in Curb Your Enthusiasm? That's his wife.
That's so crazy.
And I got, you know, I was mentioning him the other day because the Kennedy name is so synonymous with winning in Democrat circles, of course, right? It is actually this institution within the Democrat Party. And I brought it up in a Spaces with Max and Stacey the other day. And it turns out Max and Stacey actually interviewed him years ago about all of this stuff. You know, it wasn't really pure Bitcoin CBDC stuff at the time, but it was just a way for them to, you know, notice that he had some interest in these kinds of things. So it's quite amazing that if you think about when the financial surveillance state in America begins, it begins with his father. And if you begin to understand the control system, you know, that all these definitions of money, right? Is it a medium of it? It's just economists looking at themselves in the mirror, right? System of control is the one they never want to talk about. That was the famous Andreas Antonopoulos talk that he gave years ago about the fourth missing definition of money. The system of control really gets into gear with LBJ and everything that came after. And if you chart, it's something that we do on the show a lot. You can see when, and by the way, Roger Stone, who is the guy who the FBI came in on, you know who Roger Stone is, right? He is predicting a Trump-Kennedy bipartisan ticket because he's not going to be welcome within the Democrat Party. They're going to do everything they did to Bernie. They're going to, you know, go after him and cheat and lie and not let him get out of there. So in a lot of ways, he's one of the few names that can actually spring people's awareness. And it's an amazing thing that it's happening because the financial surveillance begins then. The small-time criminals entering political life in America, LBJ, you know, LBJ, the president who took over, right? The president who took over after Kennedy died never was anything but a politician, and he's the first multimillionaire politician in the history of American politics. He died worth $100 million of the old dollars, and he used to laugh that it was his wife's success at the radio station that made all the money, right? He was an actual criminal. And from everything we know after, this deep state and everything that went on with it has been going on with their financial surveillance and their system of control since that exact moment. So the simulation, right, always tends towards a entertaining outcome. So I've been predicting for a long time that Kennedy will have this role because it in the end, the Bitcoin story does go back to what happened in the 1960s. And what happened to the deep state and where they started involving themselves in the American system. So I revel at this amazing turn of events and that he is now joining public life. When I saw he was running for president, I said, this is one of the best things, whether or not he has no chance in the Democrat situation, right? But what Trump might offer, because he's not a stupid guy when it comes to this stuff, right? He's not an idiot, might be just that right now. It's all just circus. It's all for fun, right? This is politics. And Smolinski, I think, has it wrong, right?
By the way, she's super smart, and I agree with you. But I would say this to you, Nolan. I would say this. During the transition, politics are important. After the fact, that's why we're here. Bitcoin makes politics irrelevant over the long term.
Agreed, but it's already there. I mean, you know, you can even go back to just a simple Jordan Peterson, clean your own room.
Yeah.
Argument, right. We've all just got to do, you know, that's why the memes are so good. That's why the laughs, the lulls, right? Everything that Bitcoin Pierre did with the riot video and the perfect calibration of the joke where the people who didn't get it, that's the joke. The joke is the people who didn't get it, right? It's a kind of IQ test. That's the joke, right? You know, everyone out there, oh, he was too subtle, right? No, it's perfect, right? It was perfect. And you know, the ability to laugh about this stuff and to be entertained, frankly, watching Trump get to go wild on the Kennedy situation. And by the way, Trump has said, because, you know, the reason I do not support Trump this second time around is because of Ed and Julian and
Ross. He had the chance.
Yeah. No, I get it. I have always understood on a human level why it didn't happen, right? Who knows what threats are on him. But there is a story baked into those 2 weeks between, you know, the protests of January 6th and everything that happened later, where he had told that, you know, the judge that's on Fox, Judge Notes, he's got the Italian name. I don't know. I can't remember his name, but he's on Fox News. He told them during the administration that he was going to release all the JFK files. And during that period, this judge said, are you going to do it? Right. Are you going to release these files? And he goes, not if you saw what I saw. Not if you saw what I saw.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, anyways. So you guys, I'm going to play you guys a video so that you guys understand a little bit more what Nolan is referencing, what we're talking about, and the reality of what is the deep state. Nolan, I've refused to call it the deep state anymore. I've now transitioned to call it the administrative state because it's right up in your grill. And Kennedy was mentioning this. Here's a very famous video of one of his very last speeches before he was assassinated. Let's check it out.
Mr. Catledge, members of the American Society, newspaper editors, ladies and gentlemen. The president of a great democracy such as ours and the editors of great newspapers such as yours owe a common obligation to the people, an obligation to present the facts, to present them with candor, and to present them in perspective. It is with that obligation in mind that I have decided in the last 24 hours to discuss briefly at this time the recent events in Cuba. On that unhappy island, as in so many other arenas of the contest for freedom, the news has grown worse instead of better. I have emphasized before that this was a struggle of Cuban patriots.
Totally the wrong video, but you got, oh man, I can't find it. They pulled it down.
Let me even add the frame that I use regularly for the Kennedys. Now, does everyone know the book, The Fourth Turning? It's pretty popular amongst Bitcoiners. Now, if you look, I always recommend that people watch the Van Neistat Fourth Turning video. It's just the best. The book is terrible. You don't need to read it. It's written in academic ease from the 90s. It's illegible anymore. But the Van Neistat video that he made is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. You just see his, it's Casey Neistat's brother, right, who made this video. Like the literal inventor of YouTube, YouTubing, right, the original YouTuber. So the video that he produced on this cuts the eras that we live in, the golden era of the first history block, the 80 years of history. So for the audience members who don't know, this book suggests that America lives on 80-year history cycles. If you go back 80 years, you hit World War II, go back 80 years before that, you hit the Civil War, go back 80 years before that, you hit the Revolutionary War. So there are 80-year cycles. Each of those 80-year cycles broken into 20-year history blocks, golden age, unraveling, and then finally you get to now, crisis, right? So here's the way he breaks them down, and I agree entirely with these history blocks. So the end of the golden era, the Mustangs, the convertibles, the Corvettes, the bikinis, rock and roll, everything about the golden age that happened after World War II ends when Kennedy is assassinated. And the crisis period begins with Nolan, the financial crisis.
And 100%. And I found the video, guys. It's extremely difficult to find, by the way. You can't do that. I had to use DuckDuckGo to find it, but this is the one. And this is Kennedy. This is one of the last video. This is one of the last speeches that he made before he was assassinated. Let's check it out.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion,
on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations.
You guys get the point, though, right? And he was assassinated shortly after making that speech. And it's also, there was a speech that, there was a video that was made by Robert Breedlove, a recent, like a shorty, a vertical 1 minute video. Basically, Breedlove was making the case that Kennedy actually wanted to end the Federal Reserve as well, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that. I think even issued some kind of, process that would have reined them in. But the Federal Reserve wasn't the problem that it became years later. The start was the financial subversion and supervision that happened in the immediate wake of it, because it was the dissent that what had to be quelled, right? It was people asking questions about why the super popular president was killed. And now if you ever check, you can do this on your own. You can go look at the New York Times and look for the words conspiracy theory as a combination of words and see if it was ever published before 1964. It wasn't, right? Ever. There's no such thing. The concept was invented at the time to stunt any one of these conversations, which is why it's so funny. They're using it on Bobby yep. Kennedy Jr. now. And, you know, if you asked Nixon, right, if you asked Nixon, who was done in by fake news, by the way, we found out now that the whole thing about Watergate yep. was entirely a scam, just like Russiagate.
He was taken down by the administrative state, and he was also a yes. very, very popular president.
Yeah, right? He was the most popular president in the world that we've ever had. The 1972 numbers proportionately show him to be the most popular president America has ever had. His reelection was by the greatest margin in the history of American politics, and he was finished. Within 2 years of that, years, he was gone, right? And using much the same machinations that were used on Donald Trump. Yeah. And so if you asked him, and people have, Roger Stone has Nixon tattooed onto his back. Roger Stone was a super fan of Nixon and worked at his office in California and got into politics because of Nixon in the first place. And he became friends with Nixon later on in life, very close friends. And he said Nixon was convinced it was LBJ who killed him. It was LBJ who killed him, right? And that's what the Tucker Carlson story, where I first started referencing Bobby Kennedy Jr. back in November on my show, was about. It was about opening up these questions. And indeed, the whole image that Americans have of themselves, the whole idea of being this thing in the world, has to be confronted. And that's the amazing thing about Bitcoin, because, you know, I've spoken about it many times, and it's, I think, an amazing coincidence. Bitcoin, for example, you know, the day on which we are closest and furthest from the sun, the planet Earth, right? It's not exactly aligned with the solstice. Right. It's not December 22nd and June 22nd, the beginning of the official beginning of winter, yeah. and the official beginning of summer. It's actually July 4th and January 3rd.
Right? Holy crap.
Yeah. It's actually that, right? January 3rd is the day, right?
Yep.
So years ago, the guy who invented public key cryptography, a guy named Whitfield Diffie, literally invented public key cryptography, the separating of the keys, with a guy named Martin Hellman and Ralph Merkel, who you all would recognize from Merkle trees. So when he invented it, he became, obviously, it's the most important innovation in cryptography since Medici's Florence, right? It was a huge civilian breakthrough in cryptography. Every other breakthrough in cryptography was from military. He was the first as a civilian to do it. And all public key infrastructure, the concept of Bitcoin comes from his discovery, in the same way that Bitcoin was discovered. He discovered this thing. And in 2017, when Bitcoin started to spike for the second time, right, it had a lot of attention. And he still does a big cryptographers conference. It's a little bigger than Bitcoin 2023, but not much. It's the big cryptography conference. It's in, you know, Moxie Marlin Spike, the shitcoin purveyor, speaks on that one, you know, oh, Signal, blah, blah, blah. So he was there with all the other great emeritus cryptographers, and they were shitting on Bitcoin. Ah, if these fucking kids can just decide what they are they going to be revolutionaries, or is it going to replace the gold standard? What are they going to do? And da 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 da. And Whit Diffie interrupted him, and he goes, No. America never had to choose in its history whether it was a revolutionary force or a imperial power. It just did both. It was the two ends of the same spectrum. And in so many ways, Bitcoin can help that turning. And that's the history of America. It sort of cycles over into this wheel, right, where we do oscillate between revolutionary force and imperial power. And we are now due for the revolutionary character to come back. And you actually can't have that turning without money being something that can be accounted for and be understood, right? If we have hegemonic political money, which is what we've got, you're going to get this imperial system.
Yep.
And that's why it's such an important thing for Americans to indeed. But this is why I say politics aren't necessarily the road. I can't say there aren't. I used to believe that. I would go
a step beyond that. I think politics are used as a divide and conquer mechanism where the left is convinced that the right is the boogeyman. The right is convinced that the left is the boogeyman. And the entire time they're just printing money out of thin air and just basically stealing from everybody. Like yep. That's the mechanism. And as Bitcoiners, like at least what we dedicate the channel to, is try to get people to understand, like, Bitcoin is neutral. It's not red versus blue. It's green versus orange. Like, that is the actual fight. This is the fight at hand.
Yeah, in the end, it ends with wokeism versus Bitcoiners. That I've been predicting. I titled a show last week, we're going to be hunted just for having the courage to say Bitcoin fixes this. Like that's going to put a target on your back for saying something so simple and obvious, right? Just for saying that is going to be, you know, you've got a choice. You've got to get ready for elimination or have the courage to say Bitcoin fixes this. It sounds so simple, but it's going to be harder and harder because indeed it won't be blue and red. It's going to morph because it has no choice now to morph into wokeism versus Bitcoin. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be four people that, you know, are basically for, you know, the current, basically the base of the dollar system, or people that are for Bitcoin and freedom. Right. And I think that is the future. Anyways, guys, you can only really protect yourself in this case if you take self-custody of your Bitcoin. And if you take self-custody of your Bitcoin, you want to take self-custody not on paper. You don't want to store your Bitcoin seed on paper. You want to store your Bitcoin seed on steel. And there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. They're designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. 10% off BitPlate products using promo code simply. Store your backup, store your generational wealth on steel. Don't store it on paper. You want to make it across the finish line. Anyways, everybody, we're going to transition into the culture segment, and we're going to talk about the Bitcoin 2023 conference with Nolan. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees, no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, you could always send me a Twitter DM if you have any questions, doubts, or concerns. Opti, what are we covering today, my friend?
Well, first and foremost, wow, love that content and all that context. That was amazing. This is why I love coming to the show. You never know what's actually going
to
happen.
Could we just take a second to appreciate the relevant people? It's Nolan, NPR, where it says government funded media, and then underneath it's Bitcoin Magazine. Oh man, if you know what's been going on with NPR on Twitter, I highly recommend searching it.
So yeah, before before I, you know, we had all that great conversation, I was like, what do we usually do here with our guests? We highlight what our guests do. So first and foremost, I wanted to give Nolan a spot to plug what he does every single day on Twitter. And so, I mean, you kind of already did it, but let's do it again. And you can explain exactly what your philosophy is behind your, would it be a Twitter show?
I do it on YouTube. I got a YouTube channel as well. Yeah. So the idea is that we're in a relationship with money, right? And that facts, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the Ben Shapiro statement, facts don't care about your feelings. Well, he has it 180 degrees wrong, right? Feelings don't care about facts. And that's most people's operating system. And so my argument always is around Bitcoin anyway, that the persuasion game that works best with Bitcoin is not facts and arguing about economics, right? It's not about, because it's not like you're going to have a central banker ever go, oh shit, we printed $1 too much. Dang, the whole thing falls apart, right? You're going to be dealing with their own cognitive bias, with their own inability to see anything else in the future besides what they know, right? And so the frame that I use for the economy comes from the Austrian school of, we're dealing with numbers, but not math, right? We're dealing with what I call psychological engines. And the economy is a psychological engine. And so what I do every day is not to sell Bitcoin on its merits. What I do is show the other side of the trade why you're dumping dollars. And that's why I use the term the breakup. We set it up as if you're in an abusive relationship, and here are the reasons to get out of the relationship. Here are the reasons to stop using these tools to help paint a picture of the future for yourself that you would work toward. Because that's, you know, the feeling of a breakup is really that, right? When a breakup does happen and you feel loss, what's going on is you've already predicted a future. You've already painted a picture of the future and what it might look like. And now it hurts to take that away. And a lot of people do have an idea of what America is supposed to be and is going to be. And that's one of the weaknesses in some ways. I had the idea to do the show this way because, you know, I've been involved. It's my 10 years of being a professional in Bitcoin right now. And when I got started, I took a few trips to China, and when China was big on Bitcoin, and I still have never been so enthusiastic as when I saw average Chinese people and average Americans enthusiastic about Bitcoin, because that's exactly what you're saying. It's the dividing and conquering. But when the average people understand that their enemy is the financial system, there's a lot more of an ability to project a better future and to predict a better future and to have a vision of a better future. So the thing that I noticed about the Chinese folks was they didn't have patriotism towards their money. They love their country. They love their culture. They love all kinds of great things. And I love the same things about America. There's a lot I love about it, right? But these folks were not weighed down by the patriotic feelings about their money. They didn't have a relationship with money in the way that Americans have a relationship with money that's kind of like love or something like that. We all love money, right? We love money, right? And indeed, we find ourselves in an abusive relationship when it comes to this love, because the system is sort of not all it's cracked up to be, and is actually creating a situation where Americans are completely 180 degrees wrong about their country and about the things that it does in the world. And it takes a long time to open your eyes to that, right? It's hard to see when you're in an abusive relationship. So I realized that the Americans, because of this patriotism, had a disadvantage. And I wanted to address that disadvantage with a show that talked about psychology. So we look at the fake news every day, right? We love showing what fake news is out there, showing how psychological operations work, showing what cognitive dissonance looks like, right? The fellow in the BBC interview is a case in point of what cognitive dissonance looks like. You start talking gibberish and you can't make any sense, and then you got to leave because you don't want to have to go through the work of re-imagining what the future is. And indeed, that's the other part of the show that I like to end with. So I start with the reasons why you'd want to dump the dollar, but then I always contrast it with the commercial relationships, the things that Bitcoiners can do together that can make seeing a better future actually easy. You know, it's sort of a kind of a meme about Bitcoiners is that Bitcoin fixes this, and this is what the future can be like, and this is what things are going to be like. And indeed, once you understand Bitcoin, picturing the future and having a loving relationship with the money that is in the future is very easy, right? We want, it's natural for people to love money. You just have to be in a relationship that is with a healthier form of money, right? That's the important part of it. So that's the show, right? It's just a contrast. Look at the outcomes from the fiat system, look at the entropy in the system, look at the incapacity the system has to produce a better future, and contrast it with what we're already doing in Bitcoin. Contrast it with how individual freedom, individual initiative, contributor culture can help inform this better future. And indeed, that's a lot of what we are programming at Bitcoin 2023, right? We've got all kinds of reasons about and all kinds of explanations about what's breaking in the world, and we contrast those with what Bitcoiners are actually building. So you get a sense of what's breaking, what has to change, why it has to change, and you also get this whole sense of what is being built. And in the end, it all comes down to time preference and everything else the Austrians have been trying to explain to people. And that's the kind of content you're going to get at the show.
Absolutely love it. I couldn't agree more with your message. I've been saying the same thing for a long time, that, you know, using logic is not necessarily the best tool. We have other tools in our tool belt, guys. And Nolan, that was absolutely beautiful. But I did also see you do work for Bitcoin Magazine. You guys did drop another news story or another announcement. Yesterday. Do you want to talk about this, or we can go into the 2023 conference, wherever you want to take this?
Yeah, this is important too, because it's, you know, speaking of relationships and changing our idea of ourselves and what's going on, you know, one of the things that you see changing in Europe is the energy literacy, right? Energy literacy. There are some people who say that Putin funded a lot of the Greta stuff that's going on and made sure Europeans were sensitive to Greta's feelings as if it was an important part of energy policy. And the difference there now, after their difficult winter in energy supplies, and let's admit their amazing success in new infrastructure for liquid natural gas and storage of it, you know, that's amazing what they did do. But we're seeing them now on nuclear energy, for example. We're seeing them start to realize that they become a vassal of the US dollar and of US, because who cares who did Nord Stream? Who made sure it was okay to do it? It was US energy companies, right? It was US energy companies. And so now we have in Europe energy literacy that is starting to increase to the point where they're getting up to speed where most Americans are, especially Texans, on energy literacy. They're starting to understand what goes into energetic systems, what goes into the grid, what goes into load balancing, and all the things that Bitcoiners. Now, our audience at our show, we anticipate, and we always just, we program as if our audience is already the most energy literate audience in the world. And that's one thing we even bring to our sponsors, for example. We let them know that, look, our guys, they don't have to hear your pandering. They can hear what your real plans are. They can hear about what you're actually thinking about, what you're seeing, because they're not going to get sensitive when you say one little thing about greenhouse gas emissions. We don't care about Greta's feelings about our show. We don't care what Greta has to say about our programming. And it's now available for us to do that in Europe and really capture their new awareness about how energy policies have been keeping them down, keeping them ignorant, keeping them poor. And it's a big wake-up call for them. So we think that this can be a huge thing in Europe, because this is a whole new story for them. And you get France now on board with nuclear energy. You get the Dutch on board with nuclear energy. And one of my predictions is that we don't necessarily need Bitcoin in everyone's wallet to have hyper-Bitcoinization today. And I'm not one of these 50 years we get hyper-Bitcoinization. I'm not there. I'm like 2024 to 2028, it's happening. And the reason I say that is not, again, because we're not going to scale it so that we can have transactions that everyone can buy Bitcoin, everyone can hold Bitcoin. But what can happen is the following. When the energy markets themselves, energy exchanges, energy infrastructure, all the energy participants, if the US dollar is no longer capable of being their reference rate, as being the just the number through which they measure economic output of their industry, right? And now you get this new shitcoin coming out of BRICS with the Chinese and the Russians, and they're going to launch their own money and it's going to compete with the US dollar. Well, maybe, right? But it sounds like the same old thing. So I predict that's going to fail. And in the end, if there isn't a currency that the energy companies themselves, who run the world, right? The political parties are not as powerful as the energy companies themselves. So we can actually take their greed and just give them a venue to use their markets and give them instruments that allow them to settle their contracts. And suddenly, if energy is priced in Bitcoin, we're actually in hyper-Bitcoinization and we have moved to the Bitcoin standard. And if that happens, I believe it can happen in the short term. The US dollar is going the way of exactly what you say. I don't think there's any way stopping this UBI and CBDCs and all that stuff. It's going to be there, right? There's enough NPCs in the world. And I used to think we could save every NPC. I'm not sure if it's possible anymore. I think fiat goes to what it was always destined to be, political money. So it won't be good for energy settlements, right? It'll be good for paying for people to, it's food stamps, right? It's food stamps. And it ain't going to buy you steak. It's going to buy you cricket sandwiches, right? So that will probably be the greatest orange pill in the world, right? I can't, you know, we talk about, you know, facts and it's feelings. No one wants to eat cricket sandwiches unless they're completely brainwashed. These people exist, right? Everyone else who wants a hamburger and a steak and all that stuff are going to naturally become Bitcoiners. And the energy industry itself is going to cuddle up to Bitcoin like we've never seen. The same way Wall Street cuddled up to Bitcoin. And it did, right? Wall Street did cuddle up to Bitcoin despite all the things you hear. I worked on Wall Street for years and saw exactly how it went.
So Nolan, I think you buried the lead there because I really want to focus on that. There's an emphasis on energy at the Bitcoin 2023 conference.
Yeah.
Why is that? Can you elaborate a little bit more?
Well, again, because we have the most energy literate audience in the world, and energy companies are interested in not having to filter everything through the Greta filter. And so, it's true. They don't want to have to explain all this stuff. I use the word ESG one time. It's ESG, laugh my ass off. Like, that's it. That's the only time we're ever going to talk about ESG. It's a complete Wall Street scam. It's just another excuse to pay folks more money to look at your investments and to give you stupid advice. You know, first of all, you can tell it's a scam for this. Now, you might think energy stuff on its own is a good idea, right? I don't even want to argue with that. I'll give you that, right? And you might think the social governance thing on its own is a good idea. I don't need to argue that, right? I'll respect you if you believe that those things are important. And they might be, right? We're not here to argue that. Putting them together, on the other hand, is a scam. They don't belong together. There's nothing to do. Environmental stuff and social governance are not even closely related. That's how you can tell it's a total scam. So at our show, we've got, you see these new... So. My prediction is more or less the following, right? Up until now, most Bitcoin events would do things like, how do we get stranded energy? Important, right? Important. How do we plug into the grid? Important, right? All important stuff. What about energy contracts? Also important, right? What we're going to be talking about, and it's probably the first time it's ever going to be done at this scale, is we're talking about the financing of energy projects. We're talking about the Bitcoin financing of decentralized energy grids. And that is something that hasn't really been talked at scale at an event the way we're going to do it. So we've got folks who understand finance, understand Bitcoin's capability in finance, understand what goes on in energy finance, understand what go on in all the base load and energy requirements. And from there, I think it's going to start sprouting. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get the headline this year of a Bitcoin mine going in with a small modular nuclear reactor to finance it and all that stuff, right? I'm trying hard to get that, out, right? Not sure if it makes it this year, but everything we do this year will make it so that I guarantee within a year, you're going to hear a headline on a Bitcoin magazine stage where a nuclear reactor, a small modular nuclear, the ones that the Americans are sending to the British cost $100 million a pop. That's it. And you own the energy, right? You own the energy. Now, that in itself is an incredible potential, right? Because the whole thing with nuclear is you need a constant load, right? You can't turn nuclear reactors don't have a dimmer, even the small modular ones, right? There's no dimmer. It's like max or shut it down. So load balancing becomes super important. And now you even look, Trump had this thing. Remember what he said when he had that, he gave a talk a few weeks ago when he said, we're going to do freedom cities, a competition for 10 cities. And to start from scratch, right? We're going to start cities from scratch. You got Elon Musk over in Texas making his freedom city as a prototype for his own staff. You get Bitcoin City in El Salvador. You know, people laugh, ha ha ha, Bitcoin City, right? The Saudis, who, by the way, were never given nuclear energy by the Americans, right? They asked for it a million times. We said, no, 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 no. The minute they sold that oil to the Chinese for yuan, guess what they got in return? The thing America wouldn't give them, right? Shame on America. Yeah. So they didn't want to create regional troubles, right? Well, now they're going to get it anyway, right? So there you go.
Yeah. Anyways, Nolan, we're approaching our time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Wait, Nico, before we go on, this is a great comment right here. Y'all are making too much sense.
Oh, man. I really, really enjoyed this show. Guys, we ran out of time today, so we're not going to do the meme review, but I want to give a shout out to our awesome guest, Nolan. Thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you tell everybody where they could find you online these days and what you're working on?
So you can find me at CountBTC on Twitter. You can find me at CountBTC or I think Nolan Bailey 1 on YouTube. And when I hit 1,000 subs on YouTube, I'm going to be releasing my science fiction book, Satoshi Wedding Murders. And it's all about AI and how it mixes with Bitcoin and what's going to happen with that. And I wrote it some years ago and I got everything right about AI. They're liars. They hallucinate. They're all that kind of stuff. So if you want to learn more about how AI and Bitcoin are going to interact and what future is in store for that kind of stuff and what the world might look like on a Bitcoin standard 100 years from now, you'll have it in the book, Satoshi Wedding Murders. So that's the other thing I work on.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that. Nolan, really, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Excited to see you in the flesh at Bitcoin 2023. Promo code simply, guys. Hope to see a lot of y'all there. Anyways, guys, I also want to give a shout out to the Bitcoin companies that make this show possible. But best place to buy yourself a Bitcoin miner. If you haven't already done so, go to Kaboom Racks, join their Telegram group, check out their Bitcoin ASIC marketplace. Go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Kaboom Racks, the best place to buy an ASIC miner. If you have any questions, doubts, concerns, tag them on Twitter. Alex will, I'm sure, he'll answer your questions. That's what it's about, guys. Bitcoiners help. And of course, the best Bitcoin merch company in the game, representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. Opti, what are you wearing today, my friend? You're wearing the Bitcoin, the limited edition Bitcoin, the Simply Bitcoin shirt. I'm wearing the grenade camo hoodie. You guys know I love the camo hoodie. I literally have 20 in my closet. I just cycle them every single day. And they're dropping Simply Bitcoin merch very, very soon. So take a look at the representltd.com store and you can use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a major discount. Anyways, guys, that was the show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. The number one thing you could do to help spread the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusionary, be inclusionary. We love you all. And remember, guys, it's not red versus blue. It's green versus orange. Get on the mission. Stack your sats. Take those sats into self-custody. Best place to do it, of course, swanbitcoin.com. Love you all, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.
Go today. I know. In the comment section of our YouTube chat because they want the meme review. But yo, sometimes we got to pivot. When we get guests on like Nolan that just drops nothing but signal the whole time, hey,